Welcome back to Plot Twist I Forgot. I'm Davin.
I'm Laura. I always go second.
I almost paused. I was like, why didn't you say second. Your name? And I was like, oh, I didn't say my name, so.
You're breaking the format.
And we are here this week to celebrate our second anniversary, the only way we know how.
Two whole years.
No Hunger Games book, of course, that we can read. So we thought, what else can we reread from those ye old early days to really just keep that nostalgic spirit alive? And Laura was like, why don't we read Twilight? And at the time, I was like, such a great idea.
Torture ourselves with every millennial's secret shame.
Exactly. I don't know if it's, I feel like it's like since COVID, it's like way more mainstream that everyone is just like, I love Twilight again, and they're not ashamed of it.
I feel like during COVID, when people were twerking to Bella's Lullaby, that's really when
that was things the turning went point. South.
Yeah, they were like, Twilight's back. We're unhinged again. It's like recession pop, but for books instead of music.
Well, everyone is like, what else do we have to live for? Let's just get real weird again. And that's what we did. So yeah, we're diving back in. I was looking at the audiobook and shocked that it's 12 hours, I think. And I'm like, why is it so long?
Because it's amazing.
So that's frightening. But
it goes by fast. Don't even worry.
Oh, well, I have to get, I've been like binging this whole other series. Me and my friend started it and I'm on the last book. So I've kind of been in that world and I'm like, I have to pause this for Twilight. And yeah. So anyways,
what series?
We'll get over
Sorry.
It.
Now I have to know.
Okay. So we're going to take a little detour. Sorry, I'm trying to open my phone and talk at the same time. And apparently my brain does not want to function like that. So
I get that.
Shout out because I was able to get all five books at my library, which is amazing, but this is the Flame and Thorns series by Marion Blackwood, and it's kind of like Hunger Games-esque. It starts with the trial, so you have Seelie Fey, who are basically ruled by dragon shifters, because like millennia ago, they won the war because they rose up after they were enslaved, and now they're just, you know, really oppressing the Seelie court, so every 150 years, they do the atonement trials, where people volunteer to do these trials, and whoever wins is, like, able to, basically, because they can't leave their court, so they leave. That's what the winners do, and there's, like, three winners, and there's a lot that isn't what it seems. It's very good. The magic is cool, and I like the characters. There's some things I don't love, and after a while, I'm like, I'm actually going to stab my eyes out if you say that one more time. For the love of God, I hope it's true.
Velvet Rough
you're
Steel?
Annoying me. Actually, no, I'd rather read that 75 times than this, to be honest with you.
Oh.
So, but also, like, again, I've read these all back to back. So after a while, it's like, yo, girl, yeah. I get it. I get that you feel this way. I don't care anymore. Let's buck up and do it. But anyways, I've been five books deep, so I was like, I don't want to pause to do Twilight yet. I'm not ready. So
that's fair.
That's where that comes in. But it's really fun. I would still recommend it to people. And speaking of recommendations, we are having some vampire books.
I know what you are
recommending. Say it. Not the whisper.
Out loud.
And in this podcast, we're just going to talk like that the whole time. Just going to whisper the entire time.
Ooh, ASMR podcast.
Everyone is like turned off immediately right then.
Yeah, I gotta go.
Do you want to kick us off with your first recommendation? I forget who went last time, or went first. I forgot who went first last time, so.
You know what? I never pay attention. I'm here on a wing and a prayer, you know. So I did my best to attempt to pick things I didn't think you would pick. And then at the end of my list, I was like, fuck it.
We ball. We're just gonna
Exactly. We ball. So my first pick is Hungerstone by Kat Dunn.
You.
Is That's it on your list? Yes. It's literally my first one. I should have known that, though, because it was an Aardvark pick. So, anyway, I have, like, 9 books on my list, because I was like, one of these she's not going to have.
Good. And you're just going to, like, take... I know there's, like, 2 of mine you don't have. The rest I'm not so sure. Actually,
how do you know?
I don't know.
How do you know?
Laura, this is like the troll under the bridge trying to trick me with her list today.
So. Yeah, I sent Devin a message earlier and I was like, you're never going to guess. And then like 5 minutes later, I was like, you're actually probably going to guess.
You're like, they're all actually probably the same. And so far, we're one for one, baby. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. So there are a lot of words here. All right. Lenore is the wife of steel magnate Henry, but 10 years into their marriage, the relationship has soured and no child has arrived to fill the distance that's growing between them, because having a baby fixes everything.
Well, also, has he tried velvet-wrapped steel? Anyways, go on.
Glistening folds.
Okay, that was just horrendous what you did. Mine was funny. And you just went
I
for
read
trauma.
That in a book and it was disgusting.
Trust me, I know you did.
Bleep I'm that sure out. Okay. Anyway. Henry's ambitions... Bleep that out too. Henry's ambitions take them out of London into the imposing Nethershaw Manor in the countryside, where Henry aims to host a hunt with society's finest. Lenore keeps a terrible secret from the last time her husband hunted, and though they never speak of it, it haunts their marriage to this day. So he killed someone. The preparations for the event take a turn when a carriage accident near their remote home brings the mysterious Carmilla into Lenore's life. Carmilla, who is weak and pale during the day, but vibrant at night. Same girl. Carmilla, who stirs up a hunger deep within Lenore. Soon, girls from local villages begin to fall sick before being consumed by a bloody hunger. Torn between regaining her husband's affection and Carmilla's ever-growing presence, Lenore begins to unravel her past and, in doing so, uncovers a darkness in her household that will place her at terrible risk. That's it. So, this is a rework of Carmilla, which is the book that inspired Dracula. Mm-hmm. And I know that because I took a horror literature class when I was in college.
How cool.
I think of it daily.
I would too. I want to take that class now.
Yeah, well, get yourself to IU Bloomington and see if it's still there.
You will. Yeah, can I just enroll for this one class? Thank you.
Yeah, and my little professor was adorable. It was all great. So this has been on my list because I liked that story. Mm-hmm. I haven't gotten a chance to read it yet because I suck at life. but we're gonna get there. But yeah, I love a sapphic tale. I love a sapphic vampire tale. So. This is going to crush it, and I know that. I just have to get there.
Do we want to keep the sapphic vampire themes going on? Because I have a book for that, too.
Yes.
I think their next book is also a sapphic retelling of Hamlet. Or it's inspired by Hamlet, apparently.
Cat Duns.
Yeah, Rotten Heart.
Yes, it is.
Fun. Okay.
And so, those covers look really good together, and I have to have them both.
Oh, I know. Well, hopefully this one is aardvark. Ooh, okay. Actually, I have a new addition to my list, and I was just thinking about this because this cover just slays every cover I've ever seen. Going back, though, to what I really wanted to talk about, which I know you have not read, or if you have and you didn't tell me, I'd be very shocked. It's Bury Our Bones in the Midnight Soil by V.E. Schwab.
No.
Okay. So... I love this book. I think it's definitely not for everyone for a few different reasons. It is a little more, I don't know if like the literary side is the right way, but it's definitely not like straight up horror. Like there are horror elements because it's a vampire story, so those are inevitable, but it is definitely more about each of these women trying to navigate their life in their time periods with what happens to them, whether that's like becoming a vampire or the social constructs that are put on her in 1532, or then like being a lady in society in 1827 London, and also how that compares now, you know, 2019 Boston. It's a story about a lot of female rage. One of my favorite characters is the villain, shocker, I know. And it just is talking about how their lives intertwine, and it was a really good time. It is a little bit meandering because you're just going through their lives. So if you're not like really up for that kind of deep dive into these women, then it's going to maybe not be for you, but it is a really interesting book on like how she writes women. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I think she writes really great characters, but I do like the meandering aspect. And we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
The meandering aspect can like really grate on me. And right. I struggled with one of her previous books. And I haven't picked this one up yet because I have to, I don't know.
And it's so funny because we've talked about other books like this before, which I just thought of this other book and it's not on my list, but we've also already talked about it, which is like The Buffalo Hunter Hunter, another vampire story along meandering right. again through his life. And same with like Attie LaRue, like there are these other books where it is a very long thing. And I think I've always liked those. You usually kind of struggle with them. And so yeah. I think it just depends on also when you read it, because I very well could have tried to read this like at a really bad time. Like I tried to read The Buffalo Hunter Hunter in a slump and I was like, I'm not going to get through this. Mm-mm. And I'm going to be so mad at myself if I ruin this experience because I'm so excited for this. So you gotta, I think it's really fun. And I did audio too. And so I think that also helped not reading it with my eyes.
That's, I started Buffalo Hunter Hunter with my eyeballs and I was like, you know what? I think perhaps we need to switch the venue here because.
Yeah, you know, I did actually a lot of it. I think I did a good chunk on both. And then I was glad that I ended up switching because towards the end I got really close to being done. And that like last third act is really interesting with how it pivots. Mm-hmm. And I liked the, and I'm not sure how consistent it was throughout because I was in and out of audio, but the production of it, like at the end when she's like out and about and like doing things, they kind of give it a tape recorder, like she's recording and the steps and everything. So I thought that was a really cool thing.
No, I agree. They did a really good job on that audio. Is it me?
It is your 10. Oh my gosh, this is already out. Okay, sorry. That'll be my next one.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun.
I feel like this is probably on a similar note. This one came out relatively recently, and it's Tillinghast by Claire Cavanaugh. I picked this up not too long ago. I don't know, Kindle Double Points Day.
You mean just a random Tuesday in July when they're like, hey, you want double points?
What about today? Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Let's see. Stutley Tillinghast lives a solitary life, ostensibly as the minister of a remote rural parish in Rhode Island. For many decades now, what little human contact he's allowed himself has been brief, frenzied, and bloody, and has always ended in a shallow grave in his cellar. That's exactly what you want from a priest. There's a name for what he is, but he prefers not to use it. Sorry, this sentence is effed. And my brain just turned off. Anyway, there's a name for what he is. He's got needs and he fulfills them, but they're bad, is basically the gist of it. In his long and lonely life, he has met only one other like him, the woman he still yearns for, the one who made him what he is. Then a girl arrives searching for him. She has his last name and bears an uncanny resemblance to that woman, awaking memories Tillinghast had long suppressed. The connection he feels for her is immediate and overwhelming. She's also sick, very sick, with symptoms Tillinghast recognizes all too well, and only he knows how to cure her. This is inspired by the real events of the New England vampire panic of the 19th century.
Amazing.
Which is always my favorite. Yeah, so it explores father-daughter relationships, blah, 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 blah. Really what drew me to this one is that it's drawn from the, like, very real panic that happened in New England around vampires, where they thought people were rising from the dead. Like, this is where the, like, bells on top of graves and stuff started.
The bells on the toes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. It's so funny because I ended up pulling that up because one, that was not on my list. So I like to pull up the books when you recommend them. And I read that sentence that threw you. And that's also a very weird sentence.
Thank you. It's not my fault. I am like hopped up on, I don't know.
Pacific time energy.
Right. My vacation energy or whatever. So I am unhinged today, but that sentence really threw me for a loop.
Okay, I'm going to send you this next book because part of the appeal is the cover, because I think, to be honest, I did not read the synopsis. I saw the cover. I saw the little tagline on it, and I said I literally could give two shits what this is about. I want to own it because it is beautiful.
I'm ready.
So That is on its way to you. This is The Brides by Charlotte Cross, and this is just came out in July. We're still in July recording this. This was out July 7th.
Yes.
Are you looking at the cover?
I am. I am indeed.
It is immaculate. So this is my last minute ad because God bless Goodreads for letting me know that it is out. So before Dracula, there were The Brides. 1903, Sir John Seward, survivor of Count Dracula's murderous campaign 10 years before, takes up a post as a psychiatric doctor at an Oxford public asylum, probably a very terrible place to work. There, a new patient arrives whose traumatic experience resurrects horrors that he has spent a decade trying to forget. Now in 1884, Mafalda Lowell journeys from London to Budapest to care for her recent widowed aunt, Rika. She uncovers the chilling truth about her uncle's death and writes to her secret love, Lucy, north for comfort. Chaperoned by former school friend Eliza and lady's maid Alice, Lucy travels across the continent to be with her beloved. Only Alice, beset by nightmares and terrifying visions, notices the strange black-clad man who seems to follow them wherever they go. When Eliza is struck down with a mysterious wasting illness, her doctors order her to take the healing waters to the healing waters of Transylvania.
Sure.
A journey with devastating consequences. There were meant to be four. So this is a dual timeline novel. Looks like it's going to have kind of some like a mixed media type of situation, letters, diary entries, psychiatric reports, and it places women at the center of literature's most famous vampire story. So sounds like a good time to me.
It probably does.
Not as they probably have a terrible time, but I'm going to
read mean,
it.
You know that things go south, but
as long as there's female rage, I let's do it. I'm buckled in. I'm
there
ready.
Must be. All right, my next one might be on your list. I don't think you have read this one. It is The Serpent and the Wings of Night by Carissa Broadbent.
I've read both of them. I read
have
the first
you?
Two. Yeah.
We have never discussed it.
Have you read the first one?
I've read both.
Oh, okay.
I haven't read the novellas or the whatever. I
oh,
read
you
the...
were supposed to read the novella. One of them already.
I don't want to.
I mean, you kind of ruined part of it for yourself, so you really don't have to now, to be honest. You're good.
I don't feel ruined.
Well, because one of the novellas is about characters you meet in book two. So that's why they tell you to, like, do that.
Unfortunately, I don't remember anybody. So, it could be a new experience for all of us. Because I read this in 2023, so it's gone from my brain entirely.
Nice.
This one's older. I
also,
don't know
we're
that
two
I
for two,
this.
By the way.
I know, we're crushing it, sort of, but the opposite of that.
Like, crushing it, but, like, the complete opposite of that, so.
Expanding it. Anyway, for humans and vampires, the rules of survival are the same. Never trust, never yield, and always, always guard your heart. The adopted human daughter of the Nightborn Vampire King, Araya,
yeah.
Carved her place in a world destined to kill her. Her only chance to become something more than prey is entering the Kajari, a legendary tournament held by the goddess of death herself. But winning won't be easy amongst the most vicious warriors from all three vampire houses. To survive, Araya is forced to make an alliance with a mysterious rival. Everything that Rain, I'm assuming, Rahan.
No, I think it's that one. I think that was right.
Girl, why'd you put an H in there? Is dangerous. He is a ruthless vampire, an efficient killer, and an enemy to her father's crown, and her greatest competition. Yet what terrifies Araya most of all is that she finds herself oddly drawn to him. But there's no room for compassion in Kajari. War for the House of Night brews, shattering everything that Araya thought she knew about her home. And Rain may understand her more than anyone. But their blossoming attraction could be her downfall in a kingdom where nothing is more deadly than love.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. Anyway, this is the Hunger Games with vampires, and it's fun.
Yeah, basically. It was fun. Did you ever read any of, like, the other three that are out?
Nope.
Okay. Only other two the next one is coming out soon, which I do want to read it, that one, because it deals with, like, the blood vampire clan or whatever those guys were.
Those little freaks.
Exactly. I was like, I need to know. I need to know. And yeah. So I think I'm
thinking, I remember having a really good time with the two that I read. It's just, like, I start these series and then I fall off. And as we've discussed over the last 2 years, I've had a really hard time reading with my eyeballs. So, yeah. I'm just behind.
To be fair, if you read this in 2023, I think I probably read it honestly the same year.
Yeah. And I think that's when it came out, maybe. No?
It had to have been because like she calls them duets. So you have like Oriah and Rain, and then the next one is Mish, and I don't know the dude. I don't think her first book was out yet by the time the first two were. So, you know, kind of makes sense. Those were still coming out. Which one do I want to tell you about next?
I don't know.
You know, we're just going to have to go with a classic that I read probably 10 years ago at this point, I would assume. And it's Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Oh, cute.
Did you ever read this one?
No.
Oh, mm-hmm. Dude, I loved this book when I first read it.
I remember everyone had such a ball with it when it came out.
Oh my god, because I'm sorry, you have, like, him on top of a train decapitating a vampire with an axe or something?
Amazing.
Like, say less, no notes. And also the ending is kind of interesting. There was also a sequel, but I don't know. I don't think it really took off the way he wanted it to, but it's, I'm sure someone has either read the book or seen the movie, maybe both. Highly recommend the book more, but it reads like a biography, except throughout he, like, intermingles various encounters with this vampire who I don't remember why is, like, telling him, like, helping him hunt vampires, basically. And that's what he's doing. So at night, he's just, like, going around hunting vampires. It goes through his life and the way it kind of twists the narrative at the end of, like, obviously we know how Abraham Lincoln's story ends. So, like, you know, how they looped that in, I think Seth Graham Smith is very talented. He's done a lot of other kind of fun little mashups like that. Like, I think he's the one who wrote Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies. And I think there's other ones like that. So if you're kind of someone who likes more history, but also kind of wants to dabble in something that's just fun and, like, kind of horror related, I mean, this is a very good way to do it. And it's not like, it has the interest of a fiction book while also blending the historical stuff, so I don't think you're ever really bored, to be honest.
They always sounded really fun to me.
It was honestly a really good time. Would I change my mind now? Who knows? But I read it at a good time, so I don't care.
Never reread book. It. Never Go revisit. It.
Yeah, no, I'm just gonna, like, let that live in my brain as it was.
I have another YA pick.
Okay.
And I'm 97% sure that you read this one.
Okay.
And that is The Beautiful by Renee Adier.
I have not read this. I do own it, though, yeah.
It's really fun. Again, I read this what feels like 1,000 years ago. I don't know when it actually was. 2020! So I remember very little, and I didn't finish the series because of who I am as a person. But everything about this book worked for me. It's set in 1872 New Orleans.
Yes, no notes. Continue. Love it.
That's all you need to know. And she has, she's a dressmaker who has had to flee Paris. And she's kind of like undercover and she's taken in by this convent. And that's where that's where the story starts, right? Doesn't sound like fun. But pretty soon she becomes embroiled in the city's underworld, and she meets, like, the leader of kind of like a gang, but it's a group, and, you know, they start a little romance, and he has his own horrible secret that he's hiding. I wonder what it could be. And, you know, then bodies start getting discovered. But there are all these descriptions of, like, the dresses and the elaborate parties they're attending and the food that she's eating. And it just, like, it was a really kind of, like, glamorous but also a little bit gritty novel. And, like, the romantic tension was there enough to keep you interested. Like, it's, and you need that with YA if you're reading it as an adult human, and it really worked for me. So I need to circle back and finish the series, but it really worked, and I loved the ending. And it ends on such a cliffhanger that I can't believe I didn't go back. But I think I read it when it came out, and this is my downfall. I missed books 2 and 3.
So is it only 3 books?
I think so. Okay. Hold on. I have it open. I don't know why I don't just look with my eyes. It is 4 books. The Beautiful, The Damned, The Righteous, and The Ruined.
That's right. I honestly think maybe, because I know what the covers look like, so maybe I'm lying. I know I have the first one. I might even have the second one. I don't remember, but that one has been on my list. I hear it's really good, and the whole Vampires in New Orleans will never get old to me, so.
No. Never. It's a perfect combination.
It is. Now, my next one, I don't know why I'm blanking. I would have assumed you read this because we were obsessed with The Year of the Witching, but House of Hunger by Alexis Henderson. Okay. So, I don't want to read the synopsis because I didn't know. I didn't exactly know what it was going to be.
Yeah.
When I went in. Right. And like some people were just kind of willy-nilly like, oh, it's this. And I'm like, I'm so glad I didn't know because it's so cool to be like,
wait a minute.
Wait, like, is that what you're doing? So it has this really fun tie-in to just something in general. But it was a really interesting gothic tale about Marion, who is living in the slums. She lives in this world where she is living in the very poor area of town, and it is very just like obvious about the desperate conditions like between her and like the rich people like 3 miles away or however far they are. Like there's no in between. You're either rich or you're poor, and there's really nothing you can do to transition out of that except maybe being a blood maid, because the rich people just really like to drink blood from beautiful women. Shocker. A lot of weird stuff. And so she
make sure it's beautiful, poor women, because
exactly got to make sure they're hot and that they're very desperate and need the money, because how else will we keep them if they, you know, have something else to turn to?
Nah.
And options. Who needs options in a safety net? Not Marion. She actually probably did. And she is just thrown into this world where there's other blood maids. So there's this whole hierarchy of just like women trying to compete for the favorite spot and like, you know, not trusting each other. So they'll have that dynamic, and then just a whole other dynamic that you get into as you read it. But this one was such a fun read. It's only 304 pages, so it's something you could very much breeze through. And I think if you really want that gothic feel, this is a really great choice as we get closer and closer to spooky season.
Yeah. What's funny is when I was making my list, I like picked that book up and I was like, I need to read you.
Oh, you haven't read it?
No. Oh. But I've had it. I bought it on the day it came out, and
you did. We were so excited for it.
I just suck. And then I read, you know what? Let's not go on a tangent. let me stop myself right there.
Okay.
But yes, maybe this year. This is the year I finally get there. My next one is very different from my last two, and it is The Strain by Guillermo del Toro and Chuck Hogan. I know.
You're right. It is very different.
It's a complete 180.
We went from YA to now Master of Horror, Guillermo del Toro.
Uh-huh. Continue. Yeah. There are very few teenagers smooching in this book.
but I so bet this, a lot of them die.
Yeah, this came out forever ago, I think in like 2009. I read it in, I don't know, the 2010s at some point. There's been a TV show, you know, it's not an under the radar book, but it's one of those like very high action kind of epidemic books. Like it's the start of, it's like vampires are treated a little bit like zombies. They're not like charismatic in the way you're used to, they're bitey, like really bitey, from what I remember. I will read a bit of this, because there's, again, there are so many different facets, because it's in so many different places at once, because it's an outbreak. A Boeing 777 arrives at JFK and is on its way across the tarmac when it suddenly stops dead. All the window shades are pulled down, all the lights are out. All communication channels have gone quiet. Crews on the ground are lost for answers, but an alert goes out to the CDC. Dr. Ephraim F. Goodweather, head of their Canary Project, a rapid response team that investigates biological threats, gets a call and boards the plane. What he finds makes his blood run cold. In a pawn shop in Spanish Harlem, a former professor and survivor of the Holocaust named Abraham Satrakian knows something is happening. And he knows the time has come, that a war is brewing. So begins a battle of mammoth proportions as the vampiric virus that has infected New York begins to spill out into the streets. F, who is joined by a Satrakian, and a motley crew of fighters must now find a way to stop the contagion and save his city, a city that includes his wife and son, before it's too late.
That does sound like a very fun read. That one sounds really cool.
It's a really good time. It's kind of fun to see vampires just be like bitey mean guys instead of like also trying to woo you.
Yeah, like romantic, right. Like seduction. Yeah.
Yeah. This is not that. It's a virus. It's an epidemic and they are gonna kill you for sure in like a bad way. The TV show is pretty good too, from what I remember. I didn't ever finish it, but yeah. Sometimes it's fun to just do a really cinematic one and
yeah.
This works. I do think it's a series too.
And did you continue with it?
No.
Okay, my next one, I'm almost 99% sure one of us has included this on a list in the last 2 years, to be honest with you, because I just like am remembering key points that I would talk about. I'm like, you know what, I think we've done this, but there's no way that I could talk about vampires and not mention the Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires by Grady Hendrix.
Yeah,
this one is so great, and I think that it's, I'm always kind of interested, like, when a man can write a woman's story and it doesn't come across as, like, you know nothing at all. Like, it is very considerate and, like, just, like, facing it as a person, which I thought was interesting. And also the whole premise in his foreword, he talks about, like, what if my mom went up against Dracula, and that's kind of his thought process for this book, which is very, very fun. But you follow, it's in the 90s, you're in a Southern book club. They kind of start like with one group and they don't really like what is being read. So they do their own and they're reading true crime. So then, of course, as things start to go iffy in their neighborhood, they're like, we know the signs, something is suspicious. And so they're kind of just looking out at that. But it also deals with her, you know, internal life, because she's a housewife and her husband sucks and is terrible, and her mom is living with her because her mom, I think, has dementia or Alzheimer's, or just in general is not able to care for herself. So she's also just doing all the social labor that women do. And it does take a very interesting turn that I wasn't expecting. You're kind of like hit with this thing. And then, of course, the vampire aspect is in there in a cool way. There's one scene that will always live rent-free in my head involving rats. So that's just, thank you, Grady Hendrix, for that one. And I can't wait. This was supposed to be turned into a TV show. I don't know when or if that is still happening, but it's like a, it's just that you, if you've read his books, you know, it's a fun, kitschy, like.
Yeah, that would be such a fun limited series.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It would be amazing, depending on like, who was all on board. I could see this just being such a good option, a good show.
Yeah, it was a really fun read. I remember really enjoying just like the characters and the directions that the book went in.
Yeah, it was very just like, because there's it is an ensemble cast, and so you get to know and care for the other women as well, and it's just like a very cool combination of things.
Agree. My next one is probably the most obvious, maybe, that I think we would both talk about, but I have to say it, and it's So Thirsty by Rachel Harrison.
That one didn't even cross my mind. I am
shocked. Oh, really?
Yeah, I was like looking at lists, and I was, yeah, I honestly, I loved this book. I thought it was so good.
It's a gal pal take on a vampire story.
Yes.
A lot of what she does focuses on female friendships, and that's why her books really resonate with me. Like, she really understands, like, being an adult with friends and how your dynamic has, like, changed. And then she puts that on paper so we can all be like, oh, I'm not alone. Excellent.
Thank you so much.
Perfect. And in this one, what's the main character's name? Sloane. Sloane is going on a trip with her best friend. She's kind of like in a sort of unhappy marriage. They're in a weird spot. And they're going to, I think it's like upstate New York or something, just for a girl's weekend. I think it's for her birthday. Yeah.
Yeah.
And her friend is much more of a, like, loose cannon, laissez-faire, let things go type. And she's much more type A. And so her friend drags her to this party, and things get a little bit out of hand.
Very out of hand.
And, uh-oh, now maybe this consequence will last forever. They, again, don't say, like, we're vampires. But it's called So Thirsty, and there are teeth on the front of the cover, so...
Yeah, you draw your own conclusions here.
Let's all work together to not be mad at me for saying they become vampires. and then just dealing with that, like, well, what does this mean?
Yeah. Especially because, like, I think she deals with, like, you know, because she's turning, what, 35 or 36, so she's like... I'm middle-aged now, and now I'm, you know, she's kind of, like, forced to think about her life and where she's at and how she's actually maybe not as happy as she could be or should be in her life.
I think that's why, because I remember listening to her on Books in the Freezer talking about this book, and she's like, I just turned 35, and so I'm, like, processing that, and I'm like, me too! I am also processing this. Help me! It didn't work. I'm still unhinged, but it's another one of those books, like, her books I can read in one sitting, and I just blew through it in a day, and then I have to wait a year for the next one, but I love her take on horror.
Mm-hmm. It's always really fun, and I feel like it's always different, like, you know, kind of the basics that you're gonna get, like, great dialogue, an interesting female character, and then outside of that, it's just kind of very much up in the air.
You know there's going to be some sarcasm.
Oh, all the time, yes. Very much so. My next one is a very much more literary take on vampirism. I haven't read it yet, but there was something about it that was just very interesting to me. And this is Woman Eating by Claire Coda. So buckle up. This is a very long synopsis. So
I'm ready.
Hope you're ready here. Because Lydia is hungry. And she's always wanted to try Japanese food, sashimi, ramen, onigiri with sour plum stuffed inside, the food her Japanese father liked to eat. And then there is the bubble tea and the iced coffee, ice cream and cake, and foraged herbs and plants and the vegetables grown by the other young artists at the London studio space that she is secretly squatting in. But Lydia can't eat any of these things. Her body doesn't work like those of the other people. The only thing she can digest is blood, and it turns out that sourcing fresh pig's blood in London, where she is living away from her vampire mother for the first time, is much more difficult than she anticipated. Then there are the humans, the other artists at the studio space, the people at the gallery she interns at, the strange men that follow her after dark, and Ben, a boyish, goofy-grinned artist she is developing feelings for. Lydia knows that they are her natural prey, but she can't quite bring herself to feed on them. In her windowless studio, she paints and studies the works of other artists, binge watches Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and videos of people eating food on YouTube and Instagram. Lydia considers her place in the world. She has many of the things humans wish for: perpetual youth, near invulnerability, immortality, but she is miserable. She is lonely, and she is always hungry. As Lydia develops as a woman and an artist, she will learn that she must reconcile the conflicts within her between her demon and human sides, her mixed ethnic heritage, and her relationship with food and, in turn, humans, if she is to find a way to exist in the world. Before any of this, however, she must eat.
That sounds really interesting.
Woman Eating. It's 240 pages, so probably, like, a pretty quick read, but I think it is gonna be, like, a... kind of cross between, I think, a lot of the things that we like, and also, like, a more compact structure.
We have similar hobbies. I, too, love Buffy the Vampire Slayer and not necessarily watching people eat, but watching people go to new restaurants.
There you go. And also eating, you know, in general.
Very as fun. Long as, yeah, as long as I don't have to hear you eat, we're good.
Correct. Yes. Keep your mouth closed, please. Thank you so much.
Please.
We're begging you.
So, I think I'm just kind of rapid fire. I have three more, but these. But here's the thing:
if one of them, I took off my list, is on yours. So let's do this.
So we've already talked about all of these, but I'm remiss if I don't mention them and that's why I'm going to do it quickly because I'm remiss if I don't mention them in a vampire episode. So we've talked about Immortal Dark by Tygus Girma.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is all black vampires in like an exclusive school setting. School isn't what I'm looking for. University. There we go.
Yeah.
And that was a really well done, really great book with really interesting characters and like a lush setting that you can really sink into. I thought that one was really fun. One that we've both read and talked about on the podcast kind of at length last year, I think. Devils Kill Devils by Johnny Compton.
Oh my god, yes.
I don't even know how to describe that one. Honestly, I probably shouldn't even be saying, I think it's supposed to be a surprise. I'm spoiling things again. That they're vampires. Because I didn't know that it was a vampire book until it became a vampire book. And I was like, oh, hey.
Maybe. I would love for him to do a sequel or expand on things. Because like when that beat drops, it's like,
what?
We're doing this, and it's so cool. It's such a cool thing.
What?
Yeah.
I actually, for a minute, thought the book that he had that came out this year, because the covers kind of went together, I thought it might have been a sequel at first before we talked about what it was about. But
oh, yes.
And then my last rapid fire that we haven't read, but close personal friend of the podcast.
Oh, I know what it is. I saw this.
Isabel Cañas has Vampires of El Norte.
Yes.
And we love her. And I don't know why we haven't read this yet. Because I know it's going to be a slow burn kind of literary take. And sometimes that doesn't work for my brain. And I haven't been reading. But again, remiss if I don't mention it because we talk about her all the time.
Very, very true. I'm surprised that Empire of the Vampire wasn't on your list. Didn't you read that?
No.
Weren't you? Oh, interesting. Me either. But I really want to.
Own it, but I haven't read it.
Me too. I have it. I heard it's fantastic. I think I've read the first page and I was like, this sounds like it's going to be really good. And then I did not read it yet.
Yeah, so that one's really long. So sometimes I look at it and I think, you're too much for me right now.
But the second one isn't as long. It's a lot shorter.
I like the covers, too. They're very metal. They're
very sick, yeah. Very, very fun. I think it's also funny that, like, the kind of vampire books we talked about are, like, nothing even close to what Twilight is. And, like, when you think of, like, vampires.
I guess The Beautiful is, like, a YA vampire romance, but it's just, like, much better
I would say, but like it's more goth, I'm assuming, like a little bit more into the horror element. Like no one is sparkling.
No, there's none of what we talked about is happy, shiny.
The vampires have found something better to do than go to high school by choice 1,000 times.
Can you imagine?
No, I'd be like, honestly, I was turned against my will. But I am not going back to, I don't care. I will find another way to blend.
What do you mean the younger we start, the longer we can stay? I don't want to stay.
Yeah.
I'm a vampire. I want to move around.
I don't have to do this.
I'm not going to hang out with children all day.
No. Are you kidding me?
I'm 97. We're going to talk more about this. On another day.
We're gonna go through that in about 2 weeks when we do our spoiler chat, which is probably like the least spoilery chat we're ever gonna do, because like if you haven't read it
or seen the movies, that's on you. It's not my problem.
Go with God, figure it out. Sorry, we're gonna spoil it,
or don't figure it out.
Honestly, if you've held out this long, like, maybe we owe you, like, a little nice clap or a I don't know. I don't know how you would have avoided this book, especially if you're our age right now, well, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Ray had never read the book, and we listened to a couple hours of it when we were on vacation, and he was like, I have to tell you, this is garbage.
No, that is why I'm so scared, because I have not read this since I read it in eighth grade. I have not watched the movies since they come out. I have done nothing, you know, and I'm just like...
Yeah, so...
You know what's so crazy, and I'll just leave it on this note. So, like, you know how, like, there's a certain type of synopsis that, like, dark romance indie authors kind of do? Like, it's all I, right? I did this, or he's not going to do this to blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
That's I am irrevocably in love with him.
Yes, thank you. Absolutely. Three things. I was absolutely positive. Oh my god. This came out in 2005, so I can't wait to stab my eyes out because...
Twilight came out in 2005?
Yeah, babe, it did.
Yeah. Wow.
It did.
21 years.
Oh, gross. That's terrible to think about. It's almost 500 pages. What are we doing?
Okay, but that's because they use the big print. It's not 500 pages long. You're looking at some sort of special edition. It's not.
No, this is what Goodreads is telling me. 500, 498.
It's not that long. It's the fat print. That's the large print edition.
Let's see what Storygraph says, because we trust Storygraph.
Did you have another book? I feel like I cut you off.
No, did I did you not finish your book. List?
Oh, okay.
Can you imagine? I'm like, yeah, then you just steamrolled me. Thank you so much. No, you're welcome. 498 pages.
That's crazy to me. But remember how big that book was? Like, it's double-spaced, okay?
It's double-spaced.
I'm sorry, but there's not 498 pages worth of material here. There just isn't.
Apparently it's deeply seductive, but would never classify
Twilight. It's the least seductive book I've ever read.
Remember when he was like, she smells terrible, get away from me. That was seductive. Thank you. If you want more of this in 2 weeks,
I have so much more to say. So gird your loins. Hang on tight, spider monkey, because I have a lot of thoughts.
Oh, God. So in the meantime, as you gear up for that, you can follow us at Plot Twist I Forgot on Instagram. Both of the books that we talked about and our Instagram handles for our personal Instagram accounts and personal bookstagram accounts are in the show notes below. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Goodbye.
Bye.